Hi, I'm Josh, and I think my favorite part of Jason Goes to Hell the Final Friday was when Ice Cube showed up and he said, "Bye, Felicia," and then shot Jason with a shotgun.
Amazing. So, hey, I'm Matt. So I forget which one it is now because it's been a few days since I watched these, but in one of these, Jason stabs a guy with some rebar. And as I was watching that and making notes, and I realized I was writing rebar, I thought to myself, I want to see Jason stab a guy with bar because maybe it's just as good as rebar, but was less work. Thank you,
It's
Mitch
like
Hedberg.
refried beans, yeah.
Yeah, that's a Shane Wang Mitch Hedberg joke. Let's see. I'm trying to do this in a way that won't get me in trouble. Let's see. So they say that camp counselors at Crystal Lake landed at the thing, and I say Crystal Lake landed on us. Jason X.
And all of us are secretly the same body hopping demon worm on this podcast, which is Horror Show Hot Dog. So before we get into our Fridays, we have a short film, a very short film that has nothing to do with any day of the week, but it's called Dead Grandma or Abuela Muerta. And it is a single zooming tracking shot back to reveal more and more of a room. We start on the face of dead grandma, and then we hear on the phone the son talking about how he can't wait to see grandma when they get back from their trip, and thanks for watching little Jackson or whatever. And then we see that there is a toddler playing next to dead grandma. And yeah, that's it. It's a minute and a half of fuck you, sometimes things are just horrible. I think,
Yeah, it's
you
the
got
short film equivalent of For Sale Baby Shoes Never Worn.
Right.
It's just
Well,
that's
when I
exactly all you need.
and what I love about this too, and I don't know if you guys did this, but I did the thing with this where I watched it and I was like, whoa. Then I was like, well, it's short, I should watch it again just to kind of pay close attention. So I kind of pay close attention. And then I did this thing, and I've been doing this since I watched this, so it's been weeks now, where my brain will just Yeah, I'm walking to the grocery store, I'm walking into work, I'm doing something, whatever. And my brain will be like, well, what if there's like the baby starts crying and like a neighbor hears them? And it's like, yeah, but we don't know where the home is located. It could be like, where my parents' first house is in Prescott, where it's like up against the National Forest. Like, you don't know. Like, it could be like more remote or whatever else. Maybe, that kind of thing. Or maybe they just got their windows done. And they got brand new double hung pane windows that have good with sound. Like, shit. Like, okay, well, what if somebody was to drop by? And like, well, who would drop by? It was like, I don't know. So he's kept doing this, like trying to suss out a way that this child survives.
Amazon would drop off a package that she ordered before she died.
And certainly that driver who spent the day peeing in a Gatorade bottle.
Yeah, exactly. That was one of the ones. Exactly, Matt. That was exactly one of the ones. I'm like, well, maybe like a delivery person or whatever else. And I was like,
Nope.
hey, there, nope. That's
Nope.
they, it's like It's way worse working in a coal mine kept
No, I
situation.
mean
So like that's
you're realistically though, I mean, I feel like if you don't get a single check-in in 24 hours, you're getting a welfare check. If you're on vacation, you left an elderly relative with a child, so like kid won't be happy, but they'll be alive the next day, I would assume.
Well, unless the cellar door's open.
True.
And he would only have just started gnawing on grandma's face at that
Well, so
point.
are kids more cats than dogs then? Is that what we're learning?
If they haven't tasted human flesh yet, it takes them
Well,
a
I
little
mean,
longer.
this is the thing my brain's been doing. It's like, well, what if there's like an iron on the table? What if there's like a
Right.
what if the cellar door's open? Like, what if there's an outlet? There's a plug. There's a whatever the fuck. And I'm like, well, and it's like I
Yeah,
keep doing
there's
like,
a
well, how long would it
pan on the
take? And
stove.
it's just yeah, it's just like, and my brain kept doing that. Like, nope, that ain't gonna work. Like, nope, that ain't gonna work. Like, nope, that ain't gonna work. Like, it's like Jesus Christ, this fucking short. It was less than a minute and a half long.
I think maybe, I want to say this with all the love in my heart. I think this maybe holds a mirror up to the viewer a bit. Because if you look at the way all three of us reacted to that as a what if, Charlie's is perfectly in line with how I think Charlie thinks about things. And mine was very much going, I'll worry about it tomorrow. And
It's
Josh's was somewhere in the middle. But I'm like,
like,
yeah,
he'll
this is
probably be
all.
fine. And like, no, I have an overly optimistic scenario.
Yeah, that's. Yeah, it is. It absolutely stuck with me. And this is that one where I got a couple coworkers that we all have learned we all like horror. And this has come up a couple times now in the last week or whatever. already is like, just trust me, you can do it on your lunch break. And I've had at least one kid come back and like, dude,
yeah,
how you gotta make me watch that? And I'm like, wasn't it good? And they're like, yeah, but damn, dude.
So the other thing that gets me about this though is to think, what happens after this scene could just as easily be like a farce as it could
just be Baby's tragedy. Day Out.
Yeah, or just that short with Roger Rabbit and Baby Herman.
Yeah.
At the beginning of Who Framed Roger Rabbit. It's just, you could take that scene unaltered and it could play either way. And I thought that was fascinating too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, so they really did a lot with little on that one, like more so than even the one that just zooms into a photograph over and over. But yeah.
I thought of that too, yeah.
This does just kick you in the nuts in a minute and a half. So if that's your kink, like, yes, you should watch.
Cool. CBT shorts every week on Horror Show Hot Talk.
Although I will tell you that, like, after I watched this and I was like, oh, I started thinking about what else. Chris, I was like staring off into space. Kristen was like, what are you doing? I'm like, what's your short that we're going to do for the show or else? And she's like, well, what is that? I'm like, I'm not telling you. And she started to do the smart independent woman thing. I'm like, well, I won't be told what they, and I was like, look, you know that we have a Kristen scale. And she's like, well, yeah. I was like, yeah. So, you know, over the years, when you have challenged the Kristen scale, you have gotten upset and sick to your stomach and crying and whatever else. I have told you ahead of time that it was above your scale and you've not listened. And she's like, well, yeah. I was like, so I'm not telling you. And she's like, okay. And then it was like a couple days later, I'm like, I was looking into these like universal kid panic buttons that you can send with them places. And it's like, it was Joe spends a lot of time with her grandmother. And I was like, and she's like, and Kristen's like, well, what are you looking at that for? I'm like, nope, reason, no.
Curse you, Amazon recommendations.
Yeah.
Expose me again. Well,
and the worst part about that is if you look that up, for the next 6 weeks, you'd be like, here's 52 other panic buttons you can look at. Like, exactly. I don't want that many.
Have you thought about how much peril your child is in right now?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, go look up quarter protector sometime. And you're just like, yeah, just everything is fucked. Like, it's just like, but so anyway, yeah, like this was just one of those ones that just like, I watch it. I'm like, well, yeah, they have to. So it's right up there with Caravan is like right up there with this, where it's like, it's just like, God damn. Like,
I also like that you have the same selection criteria I have, which is, well, these guys have to see this if I did. So. Yeah.
Must be seen to be believed, even if that's too high a price to pay. Go.
Right.
Oh, so yeah, enjoy that, won't you? And
try if you can.
I enjoy would enjoy if you personally
watch a Madness
about...
More of Sin.
What? No.
But to Matt's point, I mean, just with the caveat. That with the mirror holding up thing, there's a reason why there's certain things that, you know, are not good to recommend
Absolutely.
To certain people. Like, I mean, you're like, you know, I love Dream Home very much. I have to be very careful to who I recommend that to.
Yeah.
Like if someone's pregnant, for example, or like coffee table if you have a newborn at home.
Right.
I'm not going to tell you to watch it.
Friend of the show, Trampy Smurf, that's done some live shows and stuff with us, cannot do Child Peril. So like I could never show her this short film. I just know that about her. And she's very much of the thing of like, is this okay to watch? And I'm very honest because you don't want to break that trust. But yeah, it's nothing wrong with having a hard out on things. But yeah, this would be a tough one to recommend, I think, to most people.
Yeah, even if you say, but it could be a hilarious comedy after that.
Then think about it. I don't think that makes you look better.
No, it doesn't really. It's like kind of like yeah, angst. Like, and
I really
like,
think you're weird for watching weird these. But
black comedy, yeah. Turns out I'm a psychopath. But I did like Friday the 13th, Part 7, The New Blood, or El Décimo Tercero de Viernes, Parte 7, La Sangre Nueva.
Good Lord.
Good God.
Décimo Tercero. Thanks, guys. But so at the end of Friday the 13th, Part 6, Jason is at the bottom of Camp Crystal Lake, chained to a rock, with the whole Tommy Jarvis arc having come to an end. And there he stays until a telekinetic kid who drowned her father, her abusive father, when she was a child, grows up and comes back and becomes nostalgic for father and raises the dead of Camp Crystal Lake, which includes Jason, And that's where this movie starts. And I really like that for this movie. Like, what do we do with Jason after he's had, you know, Tommy Jarvis chase him across three movies? Like, he needs a mutant nemesis. Yeah.
Yeah. This is getting into like a vertically challenged kaiju territory where he needs a Mothra. I guess that's what Freddy versus Jason is.
Well, it is so fascinating to have the whole thing with this one be, we're going to introduce a whole nother mythos to this thing, which is like, initially we have, you know, we have this like elemental reincarnating thing, but we're also going to throw in telekinesis as a thing into this. Like, it's just kind of wild. Like, they're just
it
like,
feels like it. Is that just a reaction to Nightmare on Elm Street? Like, we can get weird with it if they can.
I think maybe so, because in the next one, we get just catapulted into 90s-ness.
Yeah.
Even though I think it came out in 88, 89, but it feels so much more like Elm Street 4, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like all the way down the line, maybe all the way to Freddy's Dead, but that hadn't come out yet. So, you know what I mean?
I also wondered Tina was the little girl from the Nightmare on Elm Street, you know, the 1-2 Freddy's Coming for You kid. So I had to look at it. I was like, no, it's the little girl from House 2. So I was close, but not quite.
Yeah, this one, the weird thing is you start with that premise, but then a lot of the movie is just Jason Jasoning. And the only difference is you have, because of course she raised him from the dead, she has a psychic link to him and can sometimes see what he's doing. But other than that, it's just...
Yeah, you know, the rules are very blendy. Like, it's sort of like... at times she has the thing of the mutant thing where, like, I use the powers, and it's very draining. Other times, it, like, it just kind of bops in there, like, kind of fwing! And then other times, it's sort of like, it's, like, very focused, like, in a kind of Jean Grey sort of way. And it's like mm-hmm. which one is the thing? Like, well, it's all of them. Like, well, all right.
Is this the one where you've got, like... Jason, you can see like his spine and his rib cage through his back and shit. Is this the super torn up costume one?
No, that one's the one in Manhattan. He's all watery.
Yeah. Like, all wet the whole time.
And then Jason X, he's got that whole like
that's a whole thing
ridge yeah. altered beast looking thing going on in the back.
Although did you guys? He looks really foam rubbery in that one. He looks like he just stepped off of stage with Guar.
Although the final Friday one's pretty rough too. I keep forgetting to ask you guys this. I've had this note for a while. So if Jason's just been like under the water for years between movies or whatever, is this lake now a stock lake or a thin soup? Nothing for my stock and lake joke?
You need heat for stock, I think. This is more like a cold brew.
It's a kombucha, Jason Bucha.
Well, and if people don't know, I mean, I would imagine anybody's listening. I would imagine if anybody's listening, they would know this, but of course. But there was some artist that I think it was up in Minnesota, wasn't it? Where they?
Yep, northern Minnesota.
Yeah, they built a Jason model, like a life-size model, and chained it to the bottom of the fucking lake, and it was like, huh.
Yeah, that's a horrifying and brilliant prank. Like, I don't know that I would ever sleep again if I were to encounter that, though.
Yeah, it's just
I think
like,
that would just do me in.
Well, some of those images, I'm sure you've seen the pictures of it. Some of those images, you're like, can you just imagine, like, kind of like, oh, I'm going to bloop down, and like, oh
no. Nope. I thought I knew about the world has been upended.
I'm doing a Jesus lizard. I'm going to walk across the fucking water.
Well, because, you know, your brain goes, well, surely that's fake. And then your brain goes, well, then go poke it. And your brain goes, who are you talking
to? Don't
call me
Shirley. Yeah. You know,
like, ain't nobody here but us lizards or whatever. Like, nope, right? Nope. Chickens. Not just chickens, not lizards.
Jesus lizard on the brain. Feathers. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just David Yao is just sort of like kind of hanging out there, whatever. Oh no, I was going to say,
Jesus, but us lizards.
The thing that I kept thinking about, like with because of the beginning part where she just, you know, because of the telekinesis powers, raises the dead. Right, the idea, the suggestion is that he's dead, and then he's kind of like boom, back to life, whatever.
Right.
Did you? Yeah, this must just be a Charlie thing, but I was like, kept thinking if they were making this a totally different movie, and it was done in a kind of more like an Army of Darkness way. If she like accidentally brought to life like other dead things that are around there, she's like it's like weird like Revolutionary War like kind of racist skeletons wandering around. That's not this movie. That's not a movie.
That would fit very well in like the Evil Dead universe.
Yeah, it's just like
we still use the former dead soldiers to help us. And like, oh, they're all assholes.
yeah, exactly. But it's just like it's just, and like, I don't know why my brain came up with that, but it's just like, all right, thanks, brain. Well done, buddy.
This one, I believe. I'm trying to make sure I'm not over-scrolling in my notes. I believe I'm talking about the right movie. This one does have Jason just smashing a sleeping bag into a tree, right?
Yeah. Yep.
There's just nothing like that, is there? That's just my favorite Jason thing. I think he only does it in like two or three movies, but that is always like what I think of when I think of like Jason and fun kills.
Yeah, and it shows up in Jason X too.
Yeah.
This is the one.
The best thing about it is his body language. He just kind of has this like, he has a little bit of like a slump of shoulders. Yeah. Like, oh,
Mondays.
Right, yeah, exactly. He's a little like, oh, fine. Like, all right, buddy.
For all of that, I had heard so much about Kane Hodder as Jason, and he just looks like a big guy. Like,
I thought that too on this one.
Doing a whole lot that's different. A couple of times he has this little shiver that looks kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, it's not like until the remake. Jason just doesn't have any smarts or any like cleverness usually into his, he just kind of stomps around and looks at stuff. That's his deal.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you know, well, this one is a tough one. Cause like this one's cohesive and from like an A to B, like a kind of like it clips along from a plot standpoint. But I have to say like this group, This is probably one of my least favorite of any of the Friday movies. Like, I want all of them to die. Like, and this is one of those ones, like, the whole group, all of them, I fucking hate all of them. Like, they're just really, like, every single one of them, from the doctor and the stupid milquetoast mom and everybody in the townie people, it's like, all of them. It's like, fucking all of them, just die. The one I don't want, just all of them die. And this is weird, because, like, you would think you'd find a pick a couple of them out of the crowd, but it's like this is the one particular group I'm like, ugh.
Which it wasn't hard to do in those earlier ones, which I was kind of surprised about. But I'm also looking at another note that says, y'all, I consider you my close friends. I want you to know that means that I will pause mid-thrust to wish either of you a happy birthday should events warrant. Does someone wish someone happy birthday while fucking in this movie?
Sort of.
Like, maybe that was just me going, they should have at least paused to say happy birthday. I don't know. I was hoping that would make sense later. It's been like over a week, and you know these things just evaporate out of my brain.
I think wasn't it the thing where like the guy's hooking up with the girl, whatever else, and he's like, and does he say something about like, well, you're here for his birthday or whatever?
Maybe
that, something like that, or like, I'm trying to remember.
It's probably not worth the joke.
Yep.
That's it. I'm just also scrolling.
Oh, this was also, speaking of these kids being unlikable, I did have a note on this one too, saying we've talked about it in a few different movies, but this was another example of these kids would not hang out. Like the idea that they're all friends that would get along well enough to be like, let's all go do this thing. Like, I just don't buy it. There's always just the archetypes, and like the archetypes sat at different tables at lunch. Like, that's weird.
Yeah. Like, I barely remember these people because I was so focused on Tina and her psychic craziness, and the way that the doctor threw out is just going like, well, really what you need to do is just stop being such a little bitch about it.
Yeah,
called it 80s psychology.
And then later we find out he's deliberately baiting Jason masterfully and using her to bring him out, right? So he's like evil science guy, he's not just bad psychologist. There's a method to his badness.
Oh, that was good stuff. Chef's kiss.
Well done. Yeah, I don't think that works.
He's
one of the reasons. I think he's one of the peers in the campfire of the feeling about this group, because he's just like he's just so like obnoxious and cynic and just like. It's like every scene of that dude in him is just like, it's uncomfortable. It's like skeezy without the sex component. Like, it's just really, it's hard to pin down, but it's just like hats off to that actor, because it just makes that guy just unmeasurably shitty.
Well, is that scene where he like lies to Tina about her mom being dead, but he's like covered in her blood? You're such a just like recalcitrant asshole. You're just like, no, do not trust your eyes. And also I have another note here. What I don't know what that's called, that thing like with a saw blade on it Jason uses.
Oh yeah, it's like a hedge
some kind
trimmer.
Of hedge thing. Yeah, whatever that is. Did that feel wrong to you? I think Jason using a thing with a motor feels weird.
Yeah, being taking the minute to like turn it on, and you just think of, okay, so he pushed the primer bulb 3 times, and he pulled the cord, and it didn't start, and he went, and he pulled it again, and it didn't start, and he's like, and he pulled it again, and it finally started, and he's like, yeah. That is a weird moment, and there are only like 2 or 3 of those in the whole franchise.
Yeah.
Where he,
I don't know if that's just so a thing that certain directors were like, yeah, it doesn't matter. And then other ones were, nah, it's the machete or whatever. But
well, the object itself, I mean, it's the comic book movie problem where like on the page, things look amazing. Like, you know, like growing up reading comic books, like, you know, all the X-Men stuff and Days of Future Past and like Apocalypse and like all these images I can think of, I can just rattle them off from my head of growing up. And like, they try their damnedest to put them on the screen, and they try real hard. And it's like, it's just, for every one time they nail a set of thing, there's several examples of somebody just looking completely fucking ridiculous.
Well, and like the thing like, that almost never works in any genre is anything that has to go through the air at a way other than regular physics or even regular physics. So you have a super strong guy that's going to pick up a 6'3" dude and throw him across the room. You're like, yeah, if you were super, super strong, you could do that. But if you do it, it either looks comically too slow or like it's a cartoon because it's too fast. Our brains just don't process it. Like there's just things that don't, I don't know. And all that to say, I think Jason with the motorized weapon is the same problem as cartoons.
Well, like, I mean, like an illustration of like, of a sequence with that thing, but yeah. Bernie Wrightson kind of level of illustration would just look amazing. And it's like, but then you translate that to screen and it's just sort of like, yeah, it looks kind of odd.
Your mind.
Why does he have better. All of those ribbons hanging off of him? Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Well, that'll be right then, yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, there has to be things flittering, yes, of course.
it doesn't as much as the next one just go sideways on what Jason is. There's just that a couple of weird little moments. And then, you know, I guess if you take something like that and do it a couple of movies in a row, then it's just part of his deal, you know.
Yeah,
Freddy can be a guy who lights parrots on fire in the real world for a movie, and then be a demon worm at the end. Well, we'll get to that for Jason. For fuck's sake. Weird that those are so similar. But anyway, because I am the perv of the broadcast, you know, the perv report in these movies has to be that there was almost no nudity or sexuality in Six.
The perv report by Raymond. Boop, 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 boop,
oh,
boop,
you
boop,
were
boop.
Supposed to, yes.
Yeah.
I'm Herbert looking with the perv report.
God.
Can report, so, yeah, because in Part 6, there was no nudity. It was kind of weird. Like,
very chaste.
Yeah. And this one is just ridiculous again.
Yeah.
To the point that it did the thing that only happens in movies where a girl takes off all her clothes and jumps in the water and then turns to beg the guy to jump in, who is very hesitant and shy. And that happens a lot in movies. And in the real world, those are entirely reversed every time.
I have never turned down that circumstance. No.
Yeah. Like you wouldn't be shy, but it's usually like, hey, we should go skinny dipping. And the girl's like, I don't know. And then the guy's like, I have my clothes off. Now you pretty much gotta, you know, and that doesn't happen here. So, you know, another fun way that this universe is either wholesomely horny or just it's makes it easier to show off the girl if you have her strip first.
Probably true.
Either way, it's nice that that they found their mojo again, I feel like.
Oh! Our blonde villain, that's another thing in this one that's a fascinating sort of thing where it's like she's such an 80s thing.
Yeah, like a
usually
weird,
it would be
mean
the
girl,
jock yeah. bully. Yeah, I mean like a jock bully is usually that thing, but in this one it's sort of like no, she's just like real cunty sort of mall chick, and it's like, oh god.
Starring cunty mall chick. some weird forehand game
I heard
show.
She said some awful stuff about Tiffany on, I was going to say Facebook, but that doesn't make sense if I'm using an old metaphor about Tiffany. Never mind. Fuck.
In the burn book. In the slam book.
There you go.
I love that it wasn't recent. It was in the last year and a half or somewhere in there. I don't remember exactly. I rewatched Dead Man on Campus, the one with Marco Dressler.
Oh,
and they make a reference to, you know, Jason Segel's character, something like the freshman Facebook, but it's not like the website. It's like the thing that would exist with like people's portraits in it.
Yeah, get to know people.
Yeah, get to know your fellow rich white people.
Yes, it's like, oh yeah, son of a bitch. That's a
crazy
thing.
So maybe my joke does work. All right, thank you, Charlie. I feel better.
Yeah, it's
so
it's
cunty
a team,
whatever
effort.
Her face talks shit about Tiffany on the freshman Facebook. Now it makes sense.
Yeah. Cunty Malchik.
Cunty Malchik, thank you. Lest I forget.
Oh, it works because Malchik is Russian for woman, so or girl.
Oh. And the corruption is really? Malbec. Yeah.
Yes. And I only know that from Clockwork Orange.
Oh. Well.
Or is it boy? Probably boy. Anyway, isn't it funny when you think you know something? You're just like pressed for details, or just like, actually,
I didn't realize I would have to give information that
I had no idea how little of this I remembered. Neat. So this guy, I think that from like 4 through 7, we get the most solid run in the franchise, and they all feel like they belong together as a group. Yeah. They all have like a similar tone. 5 is a little broader, but it's not like as broad as 3. So it feels more like, yeah, like for me, 4 to 7 are almost just the same quality, with 5 maybe a little lower. And this one is a capable entry. Like, it's kind of delightful to get a weird new superpower being to take on Jason. That's fun. And it's not as off the wall as like Jason being a worm. Yeah. So overall, this one is roughly the same as the other ones of that run. I would say it's like a 7 out of 10. And then her reanimated dad rises from the lake and drags Jason back under at the end. That's what happens, folks. Yeah. Out of 10.
Yeah, I guess that's sort of the right way to describe it. Like, this fits in comfortably with sort of the tone we've been dealing with, which is, again, still not the way I always kind of picture Jason in my head. I do realize that it's like the next couple of movies are sort of what I picture. But that means it's part of the thing I've now come to really enjoy. Like, I think I've, on this rewatch, really decided I like this series quite a bit. So I'll say like 7 for this one as well. That seems about fair. I think it's going to dip pretty sharply here, so that seems like a good place to start.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be the low man on total poll just because of the, like, I would say more than half of the characters just in this one just really all rub me the wrong way. Like, it just, even our central telekinetic lady, so like, she's not bad necessarily, but there's a little bit of the, but I love him, mama. I met him 5 minutes ago, but I love him kind of thing. And it's like, I just, my eyes don't have the capacity to roll back that far. And so after a little while, I just kind of go like, I don't want anything bad to happen to her necessarily, but I don't really give a shit either way. Like, cause I go back to the early ones, you know, I go back to 2, where, the blonde lady, where she tries to pretend that she's Jason's mom. Can't think of the character's name off the top of my head, but where she like, that's just like legitimate, like, you know, there's a real terror and a real suspense and a real thing, and it's got some real weight and heaviness to it and all that kind of thing. And so it's like, really, there's something going on there with all that kind of stuff. But when we get into this situation with her, it's kind of like, I'm so distracted by the damn doctor and all the other kind of stuff. And then the way the mom it sort of interacts with the doctor, like, well, I'm going to give you 6 more chances, but after that, it's unacceptable. And it's just like, it's very odd. The whole dynamic is weird. Plus, to Matt's point, like, the group is sort of doesn't make a damn sense. So, like I said, I mean, it's not like terrible. It does clip along in a pretty like direct kind of way, which I appreciate. So, yeah, so I'll be like, I'll be slow. The Jesus H Christ. The low man of the turtle pole. There we go.
The slow poke on the turtle pole.
The
The slow like pole the, penetrates the totem.
the slow knots on the slip the salamander. Like, I don't know what the hell I'm trying to say. 6 out of 10. 6 out of 10. 6 out of 10. Let's see. 6 out of 10. Yeah, they just don't make elevated docks or like lake houses or lake house docks or lake dock houses or those type of things like they used to.
The dock at the lake house. There's so much like dock house. Yes.
So much collapsing. So much collapsing.
There's a lot of collapsing in this movie.
I mean, generally when something involves a carry, you tend to have like act of God kind of things. Like insurance doesn't want to cover it.
I dearly love the idea of now calling
carry insurance.
Anyone that has psychic powers or whatever, a carry, much like calling vampires a Dracula.
Yeah.
Like Jean Grey is a carry. Like, I like this.
The carry is probably the best known carry
of the carries. Think?
Carry on. You got one more?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Friday the 13th, part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan, or El Décimo Tercero de Viernes, parte 8, Jason cuelga a Manhattan.
Ooh.
Manhattan. Mansombrero en. Hombre sombrero en. Manhattan. Got it.
Man.
That hurts. So what kills me about part 8 is that in part 6, they had just assembled all of the portions of Jason as we know him and put him into kind of the movies that, to me, are what Jason is. And then this happened. So Friday the 13th, part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan starts with, like, ear-fucking saxophone ballad.
In a hard-boiled VO?
Yeah, and this, like, Leonard Cohen on Quaaludes poet thing talking about New York City and the unforgiving.
If you've listened to the audiobooks of the Dresden Files read by James Marsden, it's very similar.
All right. I actually may have to do that now.
I'm on like the fifth one right now, and I'm just like, whoa, this is eerie.
But then, so we have like these scenes of New York City, like the battle in New York City, where like, you know, one layer down, the Ghostbusters are covered in pink slime, and another layer down, the Ninja Turtles are fighting Shredder. Like, that New York City that feels like a soundstage already. Like, in the next lot over, they're filming Little Shop of Horrors, New York City, right? So that's weird. But then we leave New York City and we go to a boat that is coming to New York City and takes most of the movie to get there.
Yeah, yeah.
And we also find out that Camp Crystal Lake is somehow connected by waterways to the ocean.
Yeah.
Because they can take a boat from Camp Crystal Lake to Manhattan. And
I mean,
yeah.
Where's Crystal Lake allegedly? Is that Ohio? Where's Crystal
Lake? No, it's in New Jersey.
Is it Jersey?
It's not unthinkable,
but it's so weird to think of like Camp Crystal Lake, I think of as, well, like the size of Lake Goldwater in Prescott, which means something to 2/3 of the podcast.
But,
I mean, it feels
I'm
like
one of them, right?
In Minnesota, they would call it a pond.
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
I have a feeling I know what you're talking about.
That's what I would think of it as, like a thing that you could easily swim across.
Yeah, it was like the shit by my parents' house. Yeah.
Yeah. And to have it just be like, no, this is a major waterway, like these giant boats that are docked.
Like they would have had to go through like a lock and dam system at least once, right?
Damn, like, yeah. What the fuck? So this is all very confusing. And it just ends with them having to do most of a Friday the 13th movie in a very enclosed space because they're on a cruise ship. And by cruise ship, I mean like the Staten Island Ferry with some like disco lights on it. But yeah, so this is a bad idea. They give us this dude who, like the teacher who is overseeing the cruise, is always angry and always wrong. Yeah. every single thing that he says is wrong and stupid, and he's mad all the time too. And it is just the worst motherfucker, and he makes it through almost the entire movie.
Yeah, he's very 80s villain, like, you know, like the bad guy in like Caddyshack or whatever. You know, he's like the rich bad guy, except he's like a school administrator.
Well, yeah,
like the principal in Ferris Bueller's Day Off or some shit.
Like, yeah, what if the principal in Ferris Bueller's Day Off was a major character in that movie?
Oof, yeah,
it was in most of the scenes. Just like, just to remind you, I don't like kids. Like, oh really, well, sir?
Well, and also too, like, and I say this with some level of affection, but the idea that they have like this high school graduating class senior party thing, but they have like 11 people.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, like, good point.
It's like, it was, I feel bad even saying that, because I mean, I recognize what they're trying to do, that they can do, and I, you know, it's whatever else. But like, you know, when you watch a television show from 25, 30 years ago, like one of the big ones, and like you see a crowd scene with like 300 people in it, and they're all like in focus, they're not just sort of like static in the background kind of things, or like, oh yeah, there was a time when you could produce a thing with like fuck tons of people in it and you could make that work. And it's like with this, you know, like when they have this idea about having this big graduating class, all these people, and it's like, yeah.
But then that just, you know, to use the phrase incorrectly, begs the question, why not just say the rich kid in the group rented the boat to go on a graduation cruise with his friends, and then, you know, make the teacher the first mate, and he's just uptight about the boat. Like, solves every problem. But like that, you know, one quick rewrite over lunch. Like, it's just so weird.
Yeah, because it's just presenting it as it is, like, oh, this is the graduating class, like, of like rural Kansas. Like,
then again, I just did admit it did not occur to me. So maybe they were right. If you're an idiot, I don't know.
It was just and also this boat too. Like, to Josh's point, like, it is weird because it isn't like one of those like mega douchebag yacht kind of yacht in the water, the yacht. Like, it's not that, and it's like they're not like laborers on like a fishing troller. So like, it's like this weird like scuzzy.
It reminds me of like the Mississippi paddle boats that we would do like the murder mystery shows on. You have like a couple of decks, and they weren't crazy huge or fancy. I don't think they had cabins at all, so it'd be like slightly modified. But like
this one, yeah, no, this one from the outside looks worse than that, though, for sure.
Yeah, weird.
It kind of looks like they bolted some tarps onto like a garbage scow or something.
Well, it is Jersey. But,
so to take the, to zoom out just a little bit, like Josh made allusion to this, but this movie is so fucking weird because the iconography of the poster and the shots and the promotional things, whatever else, it's like Jason in Manhattan, like fucking up New York City, like, oh damn, and da 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 da. And 50 some odd minutes of this movie is on this fucking boat. And it's like, and then they arrive in this, like, of all the places to arrive in New York, they arrive at this like Sam Marlowe kind of dock thing. Sort of place, and it's sort of like, but there's also muggers there and rapists and things, and also dilapidation even at the docks, which doesn't make any fucking sense. But it's like, but it takes them nearly 50 something minutes to get there, to actually to land.
Actually, and I sort think of like, when they land on that dock, just like one slip away is Eddie Murphy from Vampire in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. it's the same kind of quasi fictional New York, that's the problem, right? Is the implication was he has been limited so far in that there's only so many people in Crystal Lake at once. So we are going to put him in fucking Times Square and he is just going to chew through people. I'm like, that's fucking great. And then once they get to New York, it's he is only interested in the Crystal Lake kids.
Yeah, so which doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah. Well, and then throughout somebody is having visions of Jason and his like childhood question mark. Yeah. And
I have a note that just says phantom child Jason sucks. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bummer.
Well, it is so weird too, because like, because you think about all the different places and the skeezy, you know, Larry Cohen-esque New York that you could put him into, and all these different kinds of things, and how like cool that would be. But also to do it would be really expensive. Like, to really kind of do it up in the way that even in that era would be expensive as shit. So like, it's just not gonna happen.
But it's so, like, the promise of that like noir VO is like, fine, put them in back alleys. We don't need a shit ton of extras or something, but like, give it something that feels like gritty New York instead of one scene. And then
the scene on the subway car is like the best example of this. It's like, you get this one shot of the subway shot. It's shot really well. It's really cool. And it's like, oh, this is kind of a tense thing. And they get the gang stuff and this, that, whatever, blah, 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 blah. And that's it. You get about a minute and a half of that. And it's like, ah, son of a gun. And it's sort of like, and so you keep going back to the police, still throwing time on a fucking boat. It's like, man, alive. So it's, yeah. it is the weirdest thing. I don't know enough about the production of this, but like, I do wonder very, very much if they like had this big old vision and then they're like, well, what we're actually going to have is not that so much. And it's like, so this is what we got to do. And so we have this boat for 2 weeks. You got to do a lot on the boat. Like,
yeah, we want to do needs the tax write off.
Or even yeah. Like, we have the boat for exteriors and then we have this warehouse.
Yeah.
Well, that could be too. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's just, yeah. So this one is just so odd because it is the anticipatory thing of being like, when are we going to get to the thing? And it's like, not really. And it's like, well, why? That would be so much more cool. And like, but when we finally get, but when we get there, okay, well, all right, we've made it. We've landed. And I love the bit. It's almost Looney Tunes-esque, almost Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck-esque thing where they get off the boat and they're kind of shimmying off the way. And then after they've gone down a little alleyway or whatever, then you see Jason Tanner go on the side of the dock and climb his way up or else. Which you expect him to turn to the camera and go, "You're despicable." It's just that kind of vibe to it. Well, and then the next fucking thing is these like robber guys are like, "Oh, we're going to rob you." And then it's like, we're going to inject her with drugs to make it easier to sexually assault her, I think. And it's like, and then you get the whole, like, oh, we'll split up. We'll find her better that way or whatever else. And it's like, oh, fuck's sake. And so it's like, it's such a letdown. Like 5 minutes after they've landed, I was like, ah, oh, God darn. Like, this was going someplace and now it's not.
It's a bummer.
And then you just get more lore that doesn't make a damn sense. And the fact that he's like walking past people kind of like, well, how do? And then he keeps wandering along. It's just like, that's not how it functions. It does not work that way.
Yeah, it's the Freddy sneaking in. Because it's like, Freddy is only after the Springfield kids. True. Like, Jason is only after the Crystal Lake kids. That, like, where can we take this franchise next? Like, I don't know. What are they doing on Nightmare?
Dream? Demon worm?
I mean, yeah. Like, at the same time, I think this is doing a different thing for the most part from Nightmare, and I will cherish them equally from now on, having seen them all. This one is, every part of this is slack.
Yep.
It's so draggy. Every line of dialogue has padding around it. Every scene has additional padding around it. Every part of this is too goddamn slow, and every shot is 2 seconds too long. The same way that what I'm saying right now is at least 10 seconds too long. That's what it does. But for every shot in the fucking movie. So even if it, I think if it had been a little more sprightly, I might've forgiven some of this, the dumbness of the way that it's put together, but it can't be put together like that and paced like that. Like, that's deadly. So for me, this is close to the lowest point, possibly the lowest point in the series. I would say like a 4 out of 10 for this one.
That sounds more than fair. My final note does remind me, this is the one where I thought Jason had the silliest looking face with the mask off, because I just wrote hamburger face Jason on this. My big note in all caps in the middle of the, I think this is the one I've taken the least notes about because it was just so dull, but the big note was like, I didn't remember any of this. I remembered thinking it was too long and boring, but holy crap, there's just nothing in here. Like, it's just filler. And I didn't even think the kills were that interesting. I did think, there's like one shot where like the mom and kids are like walking through a doorway and the camera follows and goes through like a porthole to reveal Jason. And I was like, holy shit, like, there's an actual cool shot in this movie. I'm like, maybe they're saving it till the New York part. And yeah. No. I was so wrong.
And we've saved nothing for the New York part. Well, they're like, punching the guy's head off. So that's cool.
Yeah, I actually kind of liked that. Is it Julius? Whatever his name is. the boxer kid, just going ham on Jason and getting to the point where Jason's just like, you will be tired out soon. I don't even care. And I was like, you know, I guess if you do watch actual boxers, you can't just punch forever. You just get tired. And I like that he got his best shots in. Like, that's cold comfort after you get your head knocked off, I suppose. But well, good
best
for him.
Of Rhymes got vengeance for him later. So
that's true. So yeah, I think this is the one that I hate out of all these that is just kind of irredeemable. So this is going to be a 3 for me. 3 out of 10 more hours till we get to New York.
No sleep till Brooklyn, indeed.
Yeah, this is we know what the deal is. This is sort of, it just is, you know, it's just sort of those things that's like, it just takes, like, I always refer to this one as Jason Takes Manhattan eventually. It's like a leisurely little whatever. I do really like the thing where he does, when after the boxer has him, and then just kind of off his head goes. And then I do really love that Jason stops to do a little Martha Stewarting by positioning the head in the cop car. I think it's kind of I appreciate him taking a little extra care into like kind of craft to kind of zhuzhing it up a bit. Like, I think it's kind of like, I appreciate that extra effort, you know, kind of really makes you feel kind of like you're welcome, you know. This is just dopey. And the villain guy is so, like, just so ridiculous and grating, and just like, you know, he just makes the dad guy from Sleepaway Camp or the mayor from Jaws just think it's just like make them look pleasant by comparison. So it's like, yeah, it's like 4 ideas cut down into half an idea, and it's kind of a mess. With such great promotional art and promotional everything. So yeah, I would say 4. Let's say 4 out of 10. 4 out of 10. The POV from the dog. Like, oh, for crying out loud. Like, what are you doing? Like, it's so silly.
There is a very, like, Batman Forever vibe across the whole thing.
Did you not expect it? Like, the thing, like, not with the, you know, the dog or whatever else, but did you not sort of, like, expect or think that maybe it would be like, you know, looked at it like a little Jason sort of head with like little squiggle bubbles things and kind of walking itself along, like, never, 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 never. But it's like, oh, this is not Basket Case. This is not bad. This is something different.
Sadly. Like,
oh, yeah. And also, by the way, I did, you know, you try to learn things about history, you try to learn stuff about, you know, whatever. And you learn about New York, you learn about the subway, the building of the subway systems and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, how LaGuardia was sort of a larger than life kind of prick in many ways, but also there's a lot of things and all this kind of stuff about New York. Interesting to learn. I didn't know that they had toxic sewage run through exactly at a certain time every night.
Oh, yeah, you set your watch by it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like I didn't know that about New York. All the things learned about New York and New York history over the years, didn't know that was a thing. Like, you said, like, oh, the toxic waste will come through right at 10 o'clock. Like, okay, like harbinger of civil engineering. Okay, whatever, dude. So weird.
Yes, I'm typing harbinger of civil engineering, because you never know when you might.
Well, you
it.
Should.
Yeah. Oh, so that happened, and we didn't do anything to stop it. Let's take a quick break, and then we can talk about the other 3. But
sounds good.
Don't worry, like 2.5. Back in a bit. All right, and up next we have Jason Goes to Hell, The Final Friday, or Jason Va al Infierno, El Viernes Último. So this, I had to, like, reorient myself in the timeline. This is a few years after Freddy's Dead. So that series wrapped in, The Final Nightmare was 91. So in enough time for them to go, oh shit, we just lost Freddy, but we'll buy Jason. And then we'll make Jason into like a Freddy guy. Right? Right. And I feel like that this then just feels more like a movie about an IP trying to like establish and like reinforce the intellectual property rather than be a movie that makes any goddamn sense.
I agree the movie makes no sense. And this is also going to sound incredibly insane after just shooting down part 8 for being dumb. But, like, again, going into this one knowing it doesn't make sense And then just kind of being consistently surprised by the quality of the character actors in small roles and the kind of bonkers kills and insane characters. Like, I had fun with this in a way I didn't with the last one. It's not a better movie, I don't think. It probably makes less sense despite being more like bombastic, but that's a weird place for it to land. I came out of this liking this way more than I thought I would.
Well, definitely for me, definitely more than Manhattan, because this is sprightly again.
Yeah.
And it does just kind of clip along. So what we've done to the mythos is Jason has a like kind of meta moment in the beginning where he gets like baited by undercover and naked FBI agent into running into a place where they can blow his body apart. And that's when Lore Man rides from the east to let us know that Jason was never just a kid or a boy or a man. No, he is an immortal body hopping demon who can only be killed by a member of his bloodline wielding a sacred dagger that hides in the form of a pocket knife when it's not in use.
It's like the latter Halloween films. It just doesn't. It's so untethered. Although oh, yeah, so that first scene though, with like the SWAT team and all that shit, that stuff's fun as hell because there's so many unnecessary roles. And like, why are guys rappelling out of trees? Why would mm-hmm. that have helped? So that is so completely silly and of its era that I was just like, the only thing they're missing is everybody going hup, 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 hup as they run out or something. And it's like a Leslie Nielsen movie. So,
and then a record scratch and then, yeah, so that's me.
They said it would be a boring job. You have to work some nights. But yeah, so I think began my love of this. It's just like, oh my God, this is so much fun and stupid.
But they do it so much better.
The body hopping mechanics is just like, so like, it's like,
and we're quantum leap rules, where when people look in a mirror and they're possessed by Jason.
The jazz by Jason.
They're jazzercising with Jason. And they see Jason in the mirror, or we see Jason in the mirror. Right. And it's a way of that for them to be like, no, it's still, he's Jason. He's right there. He may very rarely physically appear in the film, but here we go. Yeah, so we have different people being possessed by Jason and then just becoming rawr, slay monsters. Only in one occasion he is possessed by Jason and then is able to fool people for just long enough to like lunge and kill, right? So even the rules that they just made up don't really pass from scene to scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if we just accept that like there's this guy that's Timu Chris Rock and he knows everything and he's like, that character feels like he's been in the franchise for like 10 entries now. And it feels like that was their goal to have like, well, that's fan favorite, Deke Carrington or whatever the fuck. He's been in every movie. He knows everything about Jason. And he's just from an alternate reality where all of the other movies were about this fuck ass lore, right?
Right. Yeah.
He's very confident.
It would be, yeah, it'd be like if Halloween 6 was the first time you met Loomis. Mm-hmm. You're like, no, it's too late now. Remind me now, because I'm confused after having talked about this so many times. So the motivation was, I'm killing the people that look like the people that killed my mom. Then it's, I'm killing anyone that comes to the lake. Then it's, I'm killing only people that are from Crystal Lake. To now it's, I'm a space demon that wants to kill, is it a particular number of people he needs? What do they say? Is it like a, or is it just everyone that's around?
No, he just wants to keep body hopping until he can get to someone of his bloodline, because if he...
Oh, the bloodline's the thing. That's what I was trying to figure out, why he doesn't just always keep doing this.
Yeah, he can be reborn as Jason again. Okay. Which happens in a very Sam Raimi way when Jason's heart is cut out and turns into a worm, which slithers up his dead mom's vagina. Yeah. And then he can become again. or not his mom, but the other character's mom, Vag, but she was of the bloodline. So undead baby is born as Jason roaring through the floorboards to slash through a couple more people before he gets the mythical dagger stabbed into him. This, every bit of it felt like they just flipped through like the New Line catalog. They're like, okay, so what else? Well, you know, in Halloween, it was a sister. So Jason has a sister. Oh, okay, sure. Well, what? How do we get rid of him? Well, in Nightmare on Elm Street, you have all of this backstory about like a demon. And so then you have a thing that can defeat the demon. And that's all you need for your story, right? Just get your hands on that thing and get it to the guy. So it's, man, it's so strange to find all of this in a series that usually just doesn't give a fuck about people in the movie finding out the lore. There's only the one time that we have a guy who is tracking Jason down because he has been studying his kills. And even he gets nowhere. He gets killed halfway through the movie. This just, it has never been this kind of like, we're all working together to figure out how to defeat him. Like most of the early movies, they're just trying to survive the next second.
Yeah. It is weird to think of the government like having an X-Files unit. Who would be tracking like when enough killings show up that are, this is the MO of Jason, which is to say, just kill everything forever. I don't know. Like someone stays up all night at NORAD doing that.
The RIPD.
Oh, I remember that kind of.
How deep do we want to pull?
It's pretty deep there.
And the thing is, though, it sets up almost, you know, having the government involved sets up the whole scenario for 10, because there is a special Jason unit and they eventually get him. True. And so he gets to be, so that's, he ends up frozen and like, it puts a pretty straight line to Jason X, but Jason X is just way more fun.
True. I think moments in this are fun. Like, you know, I think it's the opening bit, but like, I like the first moment when the guy kind of just looks at Jason's heart and it starts beating and he just takes a bite out of it. Yeah. Not knowing how this movie is going to work. Like first time you see it, you're like, what the fuck? Like that's a cool moment in the movie. Although it's, you know, because you sort of know it's leading to just barfing a worm into people's mouth. But at the same time, like it's kind of funny to watch people barf a demon worm in each other's mouths. Like, again, it's kind of a Sam Raimi thing. You mm-hmm. get like the big like sign impalement through the couple in the tent. Like there's enough like moments that feel like they're like on the right track. It's just, yeah, it's whoever they brought in to do like the, like it's like they had two people, like a writer to try to give it like the Silent Hill treatment, and then the action guy from Resident Evil. And like the two never spoke, you know, they just had a little X where like the action scenes would go. So like, I feel like those parts are fun, but yeah, there's a lot of kind of meandering mythology. I have a lot of question mark, exclamation point combinations throughout here as different things were unfurled.
Yeah.
Well, also just the whole thing with the bloodline. Oh yeah. He had to be defeated with the dagger, that whole component of this whole thing. It's kind of like one of those things you think about a little bit, and you say, well, you shouldn't really think about it too much, but if you think about it, it's sort of like, it's like there's, it's like if you were going to make like a banana and like orange juice or a smoothie thing, and you just keep adding things to it, to at a certain point, several steps down the line, you've gone out and bought a thing from Wayfair to mount it, and then you've got that mounted there. And then you've also added the lights, and you've added a hydraulic system, and you've also added steak, and you, it's like, and like at a certain point, like, wasn't this a smoothie at some point? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, you know, it's a magical dagger, and it's just sort of like,
real
keeps
man,
being
man.
These things, adding, and which, I mean, it's not like, it's not dull, but it is kind of like this weird thing of like, at a certain point where you get the third or fourth time, it goes blah, 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 and then the new person kind of takes over. I think the third or fourth time you go that, I don't know if you guys said this, but I kind of went like, wasn't this the thing where the kid got neglected because the teenagers were being bad at a camp at some point? Like that was this same deal, was it not? And it's sort of like,
I gotta wonder if that perspective is why they said, yeah, they're right, so fuck it, let's just go to space.
Like,
you almost wonder if they maybe the backlash was enough for them to realize they're right, we've strayed, we'll dig our way out.
Well, yeah, because it also just kind of feels like they're making the movie in real time.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah.
Fuck, what's the next scene? Well, Jason, we just blew Jason up because that's awesome. But what's the next scene? Fuck. Okay, so there's a guy. He's going to eat Jason's heart and then become possessed by Jason. Like, oh, shit. So is he like Jason but smart? Like, no, he's just rah, rah, rah. And then later, like, fuck, how is he going to get across town? Well, he's got to drive. Well, the Jason zombie can drive now. That's fine. He's just got to fucking drive. He's going to drive.
Work for Michael Myers, yeah.
Yeah. And by the end of it, it's he can pretend to be someone else for long enough to fool somebody. Instead of just like he becomes Jason, who is fucking Jason with very specific and limited set of mannerisms and vocabulary, Jason.
Does he at some point, am I crazy? I have a note that says, Jason responds from a corpse with coveralls and a hockey mask. Weird.
Does he
just pop up at some point, just fully him?
Yeah, after he goes into dead mom's vag, he bursts through her body and through the floorboards.
But he's just him. Okay. Yeah,
fully born.
I was like
you're right. If he was naked just from the back, that would have been really surprising. You'd be like, oh, fuck. And like covered in goo. But no.
No. Weird.
You can't even cover Jason in goo. Manhattan covered Jason in goo. You can't be better than Manhattan. I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed.
The shovel fight, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that is the thing. Like, other than the entire premise being stupid and ridiculous, it is a whole lot more fun to watch, for sure, than the last one. It's just in that weird limbo where I think Jason X is so much like an order of magnitude more fun than either of these two. That it's.
I definitely think Space is the better movie. Yeah.
I think I can just rate for me. This is like a 4 out of 10. It's like you can smell the Drakkar Noir of the New Line executives who are like, well, really what it is we're creating content. This is intellectual property. Jason is much more than a slasher in a hockey mask. Jason is
to maintain brand awareness.
Yeah. Out of 10.
Yeah. Like I said, I kind of had fun with this. It is dopey as hell, but like the bits that I usually look forward to most in a Friday the 13th movie, just like some funny, crazy kills and shit. Like it has some of those. So that's it. You know, 5, it seems fair. So we'll say 5 out of 10. Vaginal bar forms.
You know, I'll give him a 4.5.
Ooh. All right.
This one is better than Manhattan, for sure.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably be just right around that ballpark. I mean, it's like it's just the description that is being kind of conceived in real time is so goddamn brilliant, because if any of the ones really fit that thing, it's this one. Because like even with the earlier entries wherever else, when you kind of just have like a body count thing happening more or less, there's still like you still have, you know, the special effects nerds and everybody else in the background figuring out new ways to disembody people, and it's like there's some kind of planning involved, even if it, you know, it's a little whatever. This one does definitely feel like just like everybody shows up and then they're like, okay, what are we doing today? Like, okay, well, this thing just happened in this last scene, so we're just gonna, it's like an improv game, but sort of like, you know, it's like kind of a yes and type situation. And it's like, and it's just add one more thing.
I need an occupation and a murder implement.
Yeah, and it's just like, and so by the time you get to the end of this thing and then they get the stabbing bit, then I'll bop the souls, like kind of like in that whole thing, and then it's sort of like it's gonna get dragged to hell. Then I kind of get the same thing as the Jason Takes Manhattan eventually thing, where it's sort of like Jason goes to hell, like goes to hell, kind of sounds like Ernest Goes to Camp. It's kind of like you expect more time, more of it would have been in hell, like kind of bet on demons and stuff. And I'm like, no, it's just going to be kind of like the no return and no refund situation, and kind of just sort of, and then you get the thing, of course, of the you know, the glove comes up and then grabs the mask and down it goes.
Teaser that destroyed minds for like a decade.
Yeah, it's just like, which I mean, like what I do love about that though is I do love the idea that if there was somebody who didn't know who Freddy Krueger was.
Yeah. Good point.
just baffled by
that. Next movie's going to have like
Edward Scissorhands. What?
Expand the universe out. I want to be clear that I would 100% watch both Jason Goes to Camp and Ernest Goes to Hell.
Yep. Absolutely.
Just like send Jason to the camp where they're having like the three-legged races and like the big kayaking
parachuting turtles.
Yeah. Like sneaking over to girls' camp at night. Yeah.
That is a deep Ernest pull there, Matt.
Thank you. Ernest Goes to Camp was my favorite.
Yes, I love that movie. It made me cry. Still does a little.
Yeah, that one's,
yeah,
that
I'm
one's
glad lovely. It's raining. Yeah, that's deep, deep cut.
Yeah, that one, I love that one very much. But the Ernest Scared Stupid, it's just got my favorite bit.
It's
one of my favorite bit outside of the Marx Brothers with the thing about the Bulgarian Miak.
You wouldn't think I could find it in this season.
This time of night, like, oh my god, just one of the funniest. Like, you want to pinpoint things that shape my sense of humor. Like, that is absolutely one of those things. It's like, and it goes back to the Marx Brothers and the that kind of stuff and the Harold Lloyd and the Buster Keaton and the Laurel Hardy crap and all that stuff. Like, all, and then of course all the Fawlty Towers and then Fireside Theater and everything. Like, it's just like all that stupid, like goofy wordplay kind of humor. Like, this is what sort of like makes your brain it what it is. It's like, yeah, the Miak joke is absolutely one of those things. It's like, god damn it, Ernest. Well, anyway.
Mm-hmm. So finally,
was that a number?
Sorry about that. 4.5 out of 10 early onset dementias.
I feel that one.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Jason X or Jason Diaz or Jason Ekis. Yeah, or Spacen.
Jason Ekis.
Jason Ekis.
He's a middle reliever for the Royals, I think.
The most interesting slasher alive. Manhattan took the formula and tried to expand it and failed, I think, and Final Friday just was like threw everything in but the kitchen sink. And I think they got scared enough that they stopped for nearly 10 years before coming back for Jason X, inspired, of course, by Y2K madness. I know that I'm kind of the only sci-fi nerd here, and this was very gleeful for me because they committed with their whole ass to the sci-fi stuff. Yeah.
They really did. I mean, I'm glad you said that, Joshua, because I think that's your spot on. It really leans into some very deep kind of sci-fi feels for sure. Like, yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
From the nightmare movies, like the last couple, it's pulling like little bits of Star Trek, little bits of Alien and Aliens, even like a little Blade Runner-y kind of thing. Like, I don't want to oversell. Like, this movie is not smart, but it gives a shit. And I thought that was really cool to see. Here we have these opening scenes in the not too distant future where, you know, they're watching movies on Satellite of Love and also have an underground bunker where they're experimenting on Jason. And he breaks containment and like slashes through a bunch of people and then gets cryogenically frozen. And then we cut to the future and have this beautiful shot of these guys in weird looking environmental like hazmat suits come down and like dig him up. And then he gets thawed out. And then we just have like Jason on a space station. And like at one point he makes the ship crash into an entire space colony. And I don't know. I was so charmed by this and I had so much fun with it, even though it's so stupid.
I don't remember if I mentioned this the first time we covered it, but this one holds a special place in my heart because it is the only Friday the 13th film that I got to see in a theater up to this point. This is the first time I got to see it like opening weekend with a buddy, which is also the first time I smoked weed out of an apple in a parking lot to go see a Friday the 13th movie. So that might be part of why I love this one. But
I'm sure it helps. Yeah.
It like, but just the idea of like knowing them as these like shitty, grainy, usually taped off cable movies that we'd watch. And then going to see one in the theater and having it just be so what the fuck as this movie is, like, we had a blast. And, you know, everybody else thought it was dumb, and we realized it was dumb after a while. But for a minute there, I loved this shit. And, you know, with the needing to be cool fading away as I got older, like, I'm back to loving this shit. This is pretty fun.
Yeah, and super fun.
Well, and it's sort of, it's fascinating because it's like, I'm glad, Josh, that you put out too, that, like, it does lean into the sci-fi thing very heavily, but it also is so dumb. And it's what's so interesting is that, like, what I find so interesting is that it's sort of like you can see the things it's pulling from, like, pretty clearly. Like, it's like this part is Aliens, and then this part is Battlestar Galactica, and then this part, like, you think you can see it pretty distinctly. And it's like, but then I found myself, I mean, I haven't watched it in a long ass time, and I remember I found a couple parts of this watching through going like, man, you know, I kind of want to find out the next thing's going to happen somehow. And it's sort of like, and it was weird. It was like, kind of one of those things, like, he chuckled in spite of himself, kind of like, that was sort of the feel of it. Like, it's sort of, I kept being like, oh, the next thing's going to happen. Like, oh, the robot kicked, like, a nipple fell off it. That's funny. It's like, what? Right. And it's like, and then the guys, the little Dweebosaurus, and then the other fella, like, doing this, like, virtual reality alien video game thing. But, like, it's like, it's real, but it's not real. And then, like, how Jason interacts with that. And it's like, for Pete's sakes, like, it's just sort of, and like, well, but I kind of want to see what the next thing's going to be. And so it's kind of like, you kept doing that. Like, for how dopey and, like, whatever, it was still, I still kept doing that.
I think the way you put that is kind of crystallized for me the difference between, like, this one and the last one. Because as we kind of said, that last one was like, you're writing the script as you're going. So I kept wondering what was going to happen next, but that was out of confusion. Uh-huh. And here it's like, yes, I'm eager to see what was next. And while always kind of maintaining enough continuity to keep me on board, it was always surprising, and it usually got way bigger than I expected. So yeah, it's like constantly increasing explosions, but they're all still, like, you know, connected to the same line. So I was like, okay, I can follow you there. And then when it gets to the point of, you know, Meteor Jason crashing at the end of the fucking movie, I'm like, hell yeah, he does. Like, why can't he just fly through space like a tardigrade and start killing on another planet? Like, what the fuck? He is just an Avenger now, right? At that point,
well, they were orbiting a planet already, right?
And right,
the Earth 2,
Electric Boogaloo. Sorry, yeah, I had like to.
Crystal Earth, it was, because it was the 90s.
Crystal Earth.
We all drink Orbits and eat Dippin' Dots here.
Hell yeah.
Crystal Earth.
One of the things I love in this is like, and I don't know if this was intentionally funny or not, if they were trying to be funny, or if it was just like a happy accident, but like when they first discover the two, where they go, they dock on the thing, or they're walking around, like, boy, it's cold in here. Like, oh, we got to check a thing about us, and then they show, oh, stabilize the bimbo flotsam and whatever. And it's like, oh, there's a life form, and then and immediately, the first thing she says is like, she goes like, oh, did they get him? Or is he gone? Is he dead? And they're like, what do you mean? Like, do you think the other one, there's just one other one. Like, yeah. You didn't find five, you didn't defrost five people. Like, you defrosted two. There's her, and then this other deformed, snarly looking thing, and then this lady who looks similar to what you look like as, like, people. What do you think that she was talking about?
Like, also, the, like, one guy's holding a knife.
Yeah, it's just like, it's like the most baffling thing. And they just, and they just at no point does any of these fucking characters go, you know, fellas, if you really kind of take a step back and look at this, I kind of wonder if this one's a threat. And then, like, they did a little intercom thing to dude in capsule, and then he's going to talk to him. And he's in there, like, kind of giving him an update. Oh, we found a thing. Oh, we can know. They're like, oh, that's old hat. Like, we have to have a new kind of gimmick and all that whole thing. All the while, like, at no point did any of these fuckers just sort of go, like, well, I think if we take process elimination, we start taking all the evidence together, this one might not be, like, a buddy, necessarily. And then they're like, well, we'll take precautions, like, some level of precaution. As if, like, you know, if you were to, like, kind of put crepe paper over a box and put a baboon in it. It's just sort of like, well, you're not really taking this to the seriousness that it should deserve. Because if you've gotten to this point in your advanced sort of whatever, like, wouldn't you have encountered a couple other, you know, like, threats of some kind or other? Like, you would have had to run across a predator at some point or other.
Well, and also, sort of like, But also, Jason is known.
Yeah, like they're aware. What, you mean Voorhees? Like, yeah, yeah, that's, yes.
Because the one guy is trying to sell the body.
Yeah.
Yeah, very
aliens. Under everyone else. Yeah, so they should have known he was a threat. But they, you know, they didn't take him seriously.
Gotta get that money.
I think it was like with termites, man.
I think it was only on this rewatch that I realized that, like, Temu Jason Mewes in this is the guy with the huge bag of weed and Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
Oh, that's perfect.
And I was like, oh my God, he plays a stoner in Two Things. Like, neat.
Same kind of face. You can only do that thing.
Right. I actually think, though, speaking of stupid things, though, that were kind of fun, the random arm chop then and then the kind of cool bandage thing they put on it, I thought that was like a great level of, like you'd mentioned, Josh, like Star Trek level shit that just makes you go, oh, this is a universe that has figured shit out we don't have. Mm-hmm. Like, that was just a nice detail, like totally pointless and like clearly just for like the gore of it. But also just watching them think it's no big deal is kind of cool.
Yeah, he goes, I think he actually says, oh, man.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, we got fun people because we have some of the science. We have sciencey Star Trek types. It's like a group of them that are very like Star Trek: The Next Generation guys. And then we have the Space Marine grunts so that they can have their own like approach to this thing and fight it off. And then you have the kind of alien level, just salarymen. You know, who's like the living, like the dude who flies the ship.
Yeah.
Is totally
another
that guy.
Who's in everything.
Yeah. Dark Star and Aliens kind of guy. So it is just fun to watch. And I do think like the premise of this is a smart thing, because somebody had written a sci-fi story where the slasher ends up on a spaceship and then has it get blown into the nanite bed as just like a short story from a well-known author. I think it would look really, really clever. And in this, as the overall thing is kind of dopey, but at the same time, this was a cool idea. Like, what if we put Jason against advanced technology? And what if instead of just him magically regenerating, he gets knocked into a biobed? Like, that's fucking smart. That's what those things do. That's almost what Ridley Scott ended up doing in Prometheus. Like, this is weirdly smart for how dumb it is.
Yeah, oh, also, I mean, no, that's a good point.
Also, perv watch, the way that they include boobs in this is having the android try on a pair.
Yeah.
And then, but then she has this sweet little dialogue with her boyfriend about the boobs. Like, there's this cute little, like, why do you want them? Well, she has them. Do I need to have them? Well, you don't need them to be good to me. And like that couple is so much fun throughout. I just love that bit. It's kind of parallel to in Leprechaun in Space, where the space princess just flashes the heroes and they're like, what was that? She's like, that's a death sentence on my world. Okay. You couldn't have just had somebody shower.
This movie also gives us the scene that will not leave my brain, no matter how hard I try, of the gal walking into the office with the professor with forceps and champagne and saying they need to talk about her midterm.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus Christ. Like, that's just nothing. It's the like a wacky shit from an 80s movie. And like, that's part of what makes this just sort of charming to me. Mm-hmm. Like, there's enough silliness, but also like the what is it? Liquid nitrogen kill? It's just an awesome kill. Like, it's not afraid of doing like straight up Friday the 13th shit either. I think the balance is, it's about the right mix for me.
Go ahead, Joshua.
Oh, just the meta moment in this in the end where they give him the hollow suite with the old crystal lake. Like, that is just long enough, I feel like. And if the whole movie was pitched at that tone, I wouldn't like it, but I thought that was pretty fun.
But yeah, that got a cheer the first time I saw it.
So the thing I was gonna mention was, as I was telling before, as I've kind of become reacquainted with the kind of random collection of all kinds of weird ephemera movies and things that I have this on DVD, and what I love is I just went and grabbed it off the shelf just now. I'm looking at the back and it has the most wonderful thing, which kind of makes me almost wistful in a way, where it has the thing where it says the DVD special features, and then it has the widescreen version of the movie, and then English subtitles as a feature. And then it says the All Access Pass that has filmmaker commentary with the writer, the director, whatever else, a documentary about the lives of Jason Voorhees, a documentary by any means necessary, the making of Jason X, and then the trailer, and then my favorite feature, which I'm going to have to figure out a way to do this, because I don't have a way with the computer I have currently got. I'm going to have to figure this out. They have a DVD-ROM content, script to screen.
Interesting.
Fascinating. I have to figure out how to watch that. Yes, I'm sorry. Even better than the rest of these features. One of the features listed, and I shit you not, I'll take a picture to send you, is link to original website. Oh, damn. One of the features.
Fuck yeah, dog.
So it's so I have a new quest now to figure out some way to be able to do the DVD-ROM features on that, because I gotta see that.
Hell yeah.
So anyway.
No, I really want to watch the Jason X trailer in the real audio player.
title cube that takes 40 minutes to load.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
20 frames a second. It'd be great. Yeah, more franchises should go to space.
Agreed.
You know, Leprechaun did it. Hellraiser did it. I think this is the best of the space. Critters did it, but let's be fair, they started there.
True.
So. Yeah, that's familiar turf for them. Come on.
Yeah.
The Alien series went to space.
I mean, you know, if you really think about it, we're all in space.
Yeah. But listen, Scream 7 made a fuck ton of money despite not being very good. Why can't Scream 8 just be like in space? No one can call home. You know, like there's a group of astronauts who are on a century ship and they accidentally wake up a ghost face, and sure, why not? Or it's all in virtual reality. Just take it to virtual reality, and
oh yeah, the holodeck goes reality, haywire
in real life. Yeah,
nailed it.
Take it to space. Hereditary 2 in space. All right, Mandy 2 in space, equally inscrutable as the first one. It'll be fine. Yeah. So for me, this is back to the like enjoyment level of the other like sweet spot of the franchise, even though this really has fuck all to do with anything else that's happening in the thing. So I don't know, it's irrational, but this is just like a 7 out of 10 for me. Like 7 out of 10. The ship names, man, like the Grendel and the Tiamat, like
Azrael, so, I think.
It's lovely. Yeah.
I have a note that says, I get it. We're the same. We're nerds.
But it wasn't like the Nostromo and the Enterprise. Like,
right. Those are totally normal. As I said, I loved this. I have a note that says, you know, this is really just a story of man versus machine. But in this case, John Henry is a serial killer zombie. And after losing to the machines, he decides if you can't beat them, join them, then beat them. So the it's just, I love this. It's so god darn silly. And this one made me smile and actually kind of giggle a couple times. And that's pretty rad. So I'll say 8. 8 out of 10. Chainmail blankets? What was that about? That's very weird. Anyway.
Yeah, there are a few of those choices where you're like, okay.
And it looked like actual chainmail. Like usually they use that kind of weird shitty cloth that is kind of a silver thread. So I'm like, no, like someone wove those together. Why would you spend the time? So weird.
All the things that we pick up on or don't pick up on are
at least those that work at a Renaissance festival. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, long story short with this one, I kind of, you know, this is one of those things where I just kind of go like, I'm kind of in the boat of like, yeah, go on out and do this nonsense. Like, just go for it. Like, this came out, what, 2002? 2001? 2002?
Sounds about right.
Yeah, 2001.
So, like, you know, if we go back in the Wayback Machine and think about, you know, what was coming out and what were the big ticket items and what were the other kind of ticket items, whatever. This is just, if I'm not completely off the marker, this is around when, not, yeah, we have, I wish I could get the timing better, but it takes too long to piece it together. But I'm thinking this was prior to the kind of the, just prior to like the quote unquote, big air quotes, torture porn era. And yeah. This was, kind of intermixed with, to some degree, the kind of proto slasher realm of, because Scream was what, 97? And then you had, of course, Prom Night, and you had A Noche de la Summer, and I love it, and fuck everybody else, but Valentine and all the rest of those things, in that realm. And so this was like prior to the Hostel realm, but kind of intermixed with the kind of the re-lean in of the kind of the teen slasher kind of deal. And they put all of this sci-fi, stuffing into this thing and just sort of didn't stick in with all the rest of it. It's just like, what a wild swing. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't hold any ill will toward it. It is dumb as a bag of hammers, but it's like, it is, I guess, can't want to know the next thing that's going to happen. So that's a good marker of somebody that could put some creative juice into it. So, yeah, I'm going to say that. I don't hold it into like angry regard or whatever. So, yeah, I'll say like an affectionate 5.5 out of 10.
Oh, no, so
of people
affectionate.
Take an affectionate 5.5 any day.
Yeah.
It's a penis joke, son. It's a penis joke.
Oh, I thought there was like a Minnesota 9. Okay, never mind.
What did the 2 say to the 10? Yeah. Real quick, Friday the 13th, 2009, or El Décimo Tercero del Viernes, Otra Vez. So I thought this was interesting because when I had only seen the first Friday and Freddy versus Jason, I saw this. And
yeah, that's weird.
I have no idea why people think this sucks so bad. Like, it's fine. It does what all these movies do, but it kind of condenses all of the character, like building that perfect Jason that took 6 movies to do. They do in 1 in this, and then he just gets to do some kills. It's like, whatever, it's fine. Watching it, having seen all of the ones in the middle, it just doesn't get it somehow. It has... Yeah. It knows the notes, but not the music. And it just, it's not any fun. You don't get that sense of like young Greg Nicotero just gleefully mixing things together, and Tom Savini and all those folks. Like this is what happens when the people making the movie really don't give a fuck about the movie. Or just, it's just product, and it really shows in this one, I feel like. For example, it's beige. The whole fucking thing is beige, except for the parts that are too dark to see. And it really made me long for all of those original, like 2 through 5 have nighttime scenes and you can see stuff. Yeah. But you don't feel like it's not nighttime. You can just see things clearly.
I have a note somewhere in this episode that says, oh, right, this is still in that, like in the 90s, everything was shot super dark. Era, like you definitely notice it. This is markedly different than what you're used to seeing, especially everything's so washed out now. But yeah, it is bizarre. This is the one I had to turn all the other lights off in the room to be able to try to see what was going on, which is kind of annoying.
And when the sun's out, everything's just brown.
Yeah,
which is not really Crystal Lake when you think about it.
Do you think whoever was like the decision maker on this was confused and thought they bought Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
No, this is the guy who did the Texas Chainsaw Massacre reboot like the previous couple of years.
Right, but like this is not a Texas Chainsaw Massacre reboot. And yet we have weird captive people and a whole underground thing and Jason having like tripwire. Like, what is happening?
it is the Jasons Have Eyes.
Yeah, like what happened? Like, that's just the weirdest thing.
Well, also too, like you get the whole, like I was saying in the text message, like the whole... Every vignette in this one, every part of this plays like the opening sequence of a Scream movie, where like after we see the first one with Drew Barrymore beginning, then what's gonna happen. In the first scene you're gonna get something, and sometimes they go a little sillier, they go a little bit, inside of a meta kind of things or whatever. Fine, that's the Scream deal. That's no big, but it is what it is. But like, that's what sort of how the game is played. And so like with this one, every vignette from the beginning part, we get our first batch of people that all go get got, except for the one lady, which I don't know if I'm misremembering things, but I don't ever remember Jason being like, I'm going to keep one.
Right. That was, I have a note saying
I reminded him of his mother.
Right. But I have a note that's like, I seem to remember when this came out, one of the things, like, I know I did, and I think a lot of people bitched about it, was Jason running. And on this rewatch, I'm like, you know, watching all the movies in quick succession, there's a lot of variety to how he moves. So like, okay, I get if it's a quibble, I get if it's not. Having him suddenly have weird, like, delusions enough that he wants to keep a bunch of women hostage to pretend they're his mom, I guess? That's a pretty big character shift. And, like, I don't know if you're trying to make your mark on the character. But, yeah, like you said, John, it just feels like you just don't get it.
And like, having a whole compound.
Yeah, like, what the fuck?
Connected underground.
Like, does this guy have an alarm clock, too? Does he get up at 5:30 so he can dig more tunnel? Like, what do you... What?
Well, you know, it's, and this, the thing I find so fascinating with this too is that, like, the the compound, all the stuff with the weed plants and all of that whole bit, and then like the whole thing with the first batch just getting got in like the first 20 minutes, basically, or maybe a little less than that, and then you kind of shift to this other group 6 weeks later, and you're just sort of like, it's like, okay, now we have to find a whole new batch of dipshits. Like, all right, well, we get to this bunch, and nobody's motivations make any degree of sense. You have the Danielle Pennebaker character, who's supposed to be like the final girl sort of character, but she's not the final girl character because she's not the kept one. And it's like, and fast forward, they're trying to find her. They're not trying to find her. They're aware of her being missing. They seem to forget at different points that there was a missing person. They're just going to still hang out with the whole thing because Rich dipshit with the big jaw has the cabin. That whole bit. And it's like, none of that, you know. And then you have the two cool characters. You have the black fella, and then you have the normal Asian guy, which, I've said in the past, and I'll always point this out, like, I always really, really love it when you have an Asian character who's not, like, an Asian character, who's like, oh, he's an engineer, or he's good at some kind of martial art of some kind. It's like, he's just, like, a dude.
Yeah, he's a stoner.
Like, I love when that happens. I know it sounds weird to point that out, but... So you have both of those characters, and then you have the rest of these just vapid, ridiculous, like, all this stuff. And it's like, so we got rid of the first batch to introduce this batch.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay.
This much more unlikable batch.
Yeah, that was the thing. It was like, usually we like bring in somebody with more, kind of, something more to bring to the table, but it's like, it's not that necessarily. And then it just becomes, like I said, one vignette after another, where you're just sort of anticipating the next vignette. It's not like the kind of like, who's going to get got next? It's more of the like, all right, well, we just have to kind of get through this part and get through this part and get through this part. And then it's sort of like, and this whole movie feels like that. And so it's like, I would, you know, I don't know. There's parts of this that I think look pretty amazing. I think it's one of the better looking ones at parts. And then there are other parts where you're like, would you just turn the brightness up slightly? Like, I can't see what the fuck's going on. And then there are parts with the underground, the last third of this, where it reminds me of Texas Chainsaw 2, where you're like, where is this place? Where the fuck are you? Exactly. It's like, so they I don't know.
Maybe Crystal Lake is next to the mines from Valentine's.
Yeah. Yeah, they just sort of repurposed this sort of like underground attraction.
And they have some kind of deal, like, you get access to my kids, I get access to your kids, you know, potato, potato. It's like colleges.
With the big scene, the thing is where she distracts him with the locket or whatever else.
I don't know.
It's like, after all the everything of all the movies leading up to this point, and then he's undone by the Jason equivalent of like a cat with a laser pointer, and it's sort of like, okay, well, I just fuck's sake. So, but in like, am I mistaken though? Thinking this was one of the most financially successful ones of the series? Am I crazy in thinking that?
You're probably not.
I think you're right. Because Jason X underperformed and scared the crap out of people.
Yeah.
Of the suits.
Well, because I think this one did, I don't remember exactly by inflation standards from the first few to now, but I thought this one did pretty well, all things being equal. Like, it didn't, you know, reinvent the world, but I think it made a decent chunk of dough.
Well, for smaller budget stuff like these too, yeah, the difference in just, you know, some inflation and what's the other fucking
okay, but I do have to point out the difference in box office. So Jason X and Manhattan were both in like the $15 million range gross.
Mm-hmm.
And this one got 92.7 million. So the other part of just kind of turning him into IP is it kind of worked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is always a shame. So like, if this is the second highest in the franchise, but the biggest earner was Freddy vs. Jason.
Oh, okay.
Which is not great, but you know, it is was something that the fans had wanted for a long time.
I mean, I felt obligated to see it. Yeah.
So yeah,
I wonder how that would play today, you know, after we have like the idea of people who have been in different movie franchises being in the same one is not radical anymore.
Yeah.
Like, does it have much to recommend it? But we didn't watch that one this time. We watched this remake thing and just, yeah. I think it's a mistake too to have the guy looking for his sister.
Oh, Susan Hatch.
Yeah, all he does is just hang dog around, and you know he's going to be around the whole movie. And he says weird shit like, I just wanted to know if you've seen somebody. My sister. There's something I want to ask you. Have you seen my sister? Instead of just like, hey, buddy, have you seen my sister? It's always just like, hey, you know what I'm wondering if you have seen recently? My sister. It's like that Simpsons creature was stirring, and what it was stirring was up trouble. Or do you know what I attribute this to the breakdown of? Society.
Yeah, I think the thing, the button to put on the top, at least for me, is that like there, I would say that there's a lot of parts of this that do actually look pretty cool, and there's parts of it that are shot particularly well in that part of it. But I don't think the thing that this thing is missing, like the Texas Chainsaw remake, was just scuzzy and not, you know, was unpleasant. This one has, like I said, has some parts that are that look pretty cool, but it's just not any fun. Because, like, you know the black fella and you know that the normal Asian fella are not going to make it. Like, you know they're not going to make it. And they're the only people that have a pulse. And then you, and it's sort of like all the rest of it, it's sort of like, it's not enjoyable. It's not fun. And so it's kind of just becomes this sort of like this plodding kind of like just endless thing to get to the end of the thing, intermixed with like these weird sex scenes for whatever reason.
Yeah.
kind of odd sort of, you know, jaw magoo, and sort of like, it's like, you know, homeboy's got some stamina. Like, all right, let's just like, God sakes, take it forever. And so it's like, I think the conversion to IP, I think, is really the best way to describe this, because, you know, I don't know, it just doesn't have the emotional resonance of like a 2, or it just doesn't have like the kind of fun feel to it. It's just sort of, it has a lot of good looks at parts, but just, yeah, it's just very, very brown and very like, yeah, very, you know, plodding. And so, I don't know. And it still made a fuck ton of money.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, well, who the hell knows? So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't, this is what it is, I guess.
Yeah, it doesn't have a ton to recommend it.
And it's just that lack of like being able to tell why there was a reason to make it.
It feels like it's checking boxes.
Yeah. With the other ones, you at least get like, well, they really wanted to try out this weird makeup. Or like, this guy had this weird idea of putting Jason on a spaceship. And he was a total sci-fi nerd, so he wanted to pull like every idea that he could get from his life of watching sci-fi. He was really into that shit, and so he put it in this movie. And I don't see any of that with this guy. Even to the point of just like, he is interested in people and had fun little stories to tell of the vignettes. You know, like, what was it, 4 or 5? The little bald guy who does the cocaine in the car and he's waiting for the waitress. And like, he has a whole goddamn Tennessee Williams play. Like, he is the middle of a novel by, what's the name, the Get Shorty guy. Like, he's interesting.
Yeah, he's an Elmer Leonard character, yeah.
Yeah. I did think the topless waterboarding was kind of hilarious, or wakeboarding. That would be totally different.
Well, yeah, one's hilarious, on one's the water. Yeah.
Yeah. That was kind of hilariously over the top, and then the kill where he like stabs her head and pulls her up enough that her boobs are above the water.
That made me laugh again. Yeah.
It is. This is not wholesomely horny. This is just like,
yeah,
it's that Piranha Double D level of horny.
But without like, a
yeah,
attire, you know what though, you want, like, which is just different from somehow from the like happy girl showing her tits to the guy in the wheelchair. Like it's different. I don't know why. It's yeah, not as wholesome. It feels very Brett Ratner-y, Michael Bay-ish, kind of bro-y. Yeah. This has been your perv report, but yeah, that's to end our saga on a. This is just like what happens when it turns into IP, and it's a shame that this is the thing that gets remembered for the series when, like, I feel like the rest of my life I'm going to be dragging people to 4, 6, and 7 at least, and X, and going, yeah, see how weird and fun this can be? You don't actually like this other thing, do you? No, I thought not.
One day you'll admit I'm right.
Yeah. So yeah, this is like a 3.5 out of 10 wake and water boarding services are provided in it. So
check the appropriate box.
Yeah. Oh, check it
twice, motherfucker. This is serious.
Yeah, this is just kind of a bummer. I had fun with Woodchipper guy, despite the fact that he was insane. But like having a dude show up at least 45 minutes before they actually get involved in trying to kill someone in a wood chipper is pretty bold for a movie. Then again, there's that miter box in the garage that Stoner guy goes to check out, and that never gets used to kill anyone. So maybe that was a little smarter than I thought. Anyway, there's a couple things like that that kind of make me laugh. But overall, there's not a lot of joy to be had in this. This was definitely something where you're checking your phone, checking your watch, whatever. So I think this got to be the lowest I've had for any of this series. So I'm going to give this 2 out of 10 soups naturals.
Big naturals?
Yeah, well, that's a whole different thing. I do, you know, I have to wonder if there's a few kills in this that the people that were making it, like, it was a bit of a homage stuff, like, you know, the hatchet to the face thing, like, you know, that's, and there's a few bits like that, and through the neck with the spear looking deal and stuff like that, where it kind of like, okay, well, maybe they've got a bit of affection. I don't know, I imagine that they do. It's just sort of, but it is very hamstrung by being an intellectual property. Like, you have to have this guy plotting around or whatever else. And God bless Derek Beers. Like, he's doing the best he can do. I mean, it's because he, you know, I don't know, he's just a big fucking guy. And so it's sort of like you kind of go through the best you can do. But yeah, it's just a very long, long drawn out thing. It didn't make me as mad as the Texas Chainsaw one, because that one made me mad. Because, like, that one was just, I don't know, there was something about, because Texas Chainsaw, the original Chainsaw, is one of my all-time favorite movies. Like, it's one of my all-time favorite horror movies, definitely. And it's just one of those things that it's, you know, when that shot at sunrise, when you have Sally in the back of the pickup truck, and Leatherface is swinging the chainsaw around, and she's just like laughing and screaming and crying, and you've got the sun and the light, and Leatherface is just kind of spinning around or whatever else. There's a tragedy to that that's not like spoken, but it's like, it is a tragedy. It's like this fucked up thing, these fucked up people, this fucked up situation, and these poor people that kind of happen into it and then kind of happen right out of it at the end, who were cheated anyway. Like, there's a big tragedy to that. And there's almost a little bit of tragedy and kind of like weird beauty to that aspect of the thing. Like, it's just sort of like, you've walked in, you've walked out, kind of like, there's something about that. And it's like, and then the remake just sort of like just ignored that concept in every possible way you could ignore it. And it's just like, God, son of a bitch. Like, why can't you have art? Have art in your heart. And this is just kind of this one, like I said, didn't make me mad the way that one did. So I want to go a little bit higher. Like I said, there's a few shots in this, a few sequences that I found very impressive. It was just endless. So I'm going to say 4.5. I'll say 4.5 out of 10. Let's say 4.5 out of 10. They do the canoe springy do at the end there with the kind of like, yeah. Oh, we're going to relax on the dock, which will never, it never cease to make me laugh at any horror movie, whether it's in the 70s, 80s, or even now, like a throwback thing, where it's like, oh, we've survived this ordeal. Like, we should set a spell. Like, you have some whittling, you know, make some tea. Like, just no, fuck off out of there forever.
Well, these also were people who were so smart that when they finally defeat the serial murderer that has killed everyone they know and clearly others, they think, well, whew, he's dead. Better dump that body in the lake before we go speak to the authorities. Like, they have no evidence he was there now. They're the people that are going to be blamed for everything. Why? What are you doing? Leave the body.
Yeah. Where's the body? Dumped it in the lake.
You did.
What now?
Like, what? What? And then they just lay by the lake. Yeah, even dumber. Maybe.
Yeah, they're just sitting there like, what in the fuck are you
just
doing?
Just threw a huge monster in there. You know, ew.
It's so odd. So yeah, I'm with Josh. Like, it is a bummer to kind of have the button on it be this kind of wah-wah. Which, I mean, I would say to this point, if you go to 2026, where we are now, how many people reference the original movies, original stuff, or is it a combination of this movie and then the game? Because the game became a big, very popular thing. And really kind of cemented the imagery. And the imagery is very much this, and it's not necessarily the movies, really. So it's kind of like, you know, what is the actual IP at this point? It's kind of
That Crystal Lake Memories or whatever it is coming out in October, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
The prequel. Yeah. So, like, I guess that's where they're going with it, is prequel.
Yeah,
which I'll take it. I've always, you know, we were talking about Scream before. I would always, you know, nobody's ever going to make this movie. But I want a Scream set in, like, the 20s. Like, I want them to go backward into the 20s.
Ahoy, Klondike Five. I'm going to murder you.
You have, like, the Model T, and you have the Roaring 20s, and you have all the excess and things that are us, and then you bring in a Ghostface character. Like, I want that movie. Nobody's ever going to make it, but I want it.
It's amazing.
Same reason I want a zombie movie set in the early 60s. It's like, I want that. I want that so bad.
What if they can't even give us a Crow movie that's set in during like the Civil War? How can they give us that?
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, but Scream needs to go to space.
Hell yeah.
I want to see, I think with this franchise, if they're going to make another Friday the 13th movie, it just got to lock someone in a room and make them watch all of the like 1 through 7.
Yeah.
Just go, this is, what if you made the thing that's like a sequel to these things instead of what it became in the pop culture mindset? Because it's,
and
different,
with like,
it's a different thing.
And that with the simple mandate. From watching for years. Yeah, give them the mandate of like, have someone tell the story as a campfire tale at camp and then go. Just do a normal ass movie. Like, don't try to make it all wackadoo. Just make a slick modern one with slightly better action or something. Better actors.
They need to get David Gordon Green, who made the first Halloween remake of the trilogy, and not the David Gordon Green that did the other two. And then I think it could work.
My brain finally stopped autocorrecting to Brian Austin Green, which is very different. Okay, now I know what we're talking about.
Okay. Marjorie Taylor Austin Gordon Green. Anyway.
Yes.
Right, we'll take a quick break then, and we'll come back with some other things to watch for another time.
Yes, sir.
So coming up next time, we just kind of looked at things that had come out recently that we might want to see. And we came up with Primate, the ape-related horror that is available on Paramount Plus. We decided on Night Patrol, that's on AMC Plus and possibly on Shudder, depending on the weather, because that's how they do things. And A Whistle, which is for sure on Shudder. So Primate, Night Patrol, and Whistle. And, well, Whistle. And I've been Josh this entire time, and I'll say bye.
And we will have a short film. This is one I got turned on to, I think, a week ago, and I guess has gotten optioned into a movie. So while the short's still up, because sometimes they take that stuff down as you get closer to production, let's do that one. So it's called The Littles. And if if you know what it is, it's dope. And if you don't, it's dope. so that will be on the website, horrorshowhotdog.com. Go there if you want to subscribe on whatever service that you're not currently using, which seems weird, but it's an option. And as far as y'all know, I've been Matt this entire time, and I'm sorry.
This is Charlie Dunn Austin. I was just going to say, Matt and I were talking about this, and I realized that was on text message, and y'all motherfuckers have seen that. So, if you get a chance to, definitely go try to watch Widow's Bay. On Apple TV. It's Matthew Reeves and
such a joy.
If you like just prime Strike Zone era Stephen King, if you like a twisty, turny, kind of odd sort of maudlin comedy component thing to a thing like that, then it's going to be right in your wheelhouse.
But and sometimes really sharp dialogue comedy too. There's some jokes that one kind of always annoyed with him lady that works in his office. Whenever they start sparring, that is some snappy fucking funny shit.
Well, and, I said in text messages, like making Matthew Reeves like insufferable is quite the feat. Like it's just sort of like, you know, making him just this like charmless sort of dope. It's just like, God, man, that's a feat of modern science. But it's like part the fog, part I don't know. It's just it's such an interesting thing. But people gotta watch it because otherwise they won't exist. So you know, it's like it's pretty cool. So anyway, we got our movies, and you take care of yourselves, take care of each other. And if I survive my bullfight with gravity on a plane later this week, then I'll talk to you again. So bye.